Wesley's right. You know, we're so thankful to have such a great body, and I feel privileged to be able to share God's word with you guys, because we've all been at it for a few years, haven't we? And that's the key. I think somebody was having manifestations. I was thinking about, or somebody prayed, and I was thinking about Jesus Christ says, you know, if you continue in my word, you'll be free indeed. And that's a key. That's a big key, is steadfastness. And my pad ain't coming on. Come on, pad. Let's go. Come on. Shouldn't have turned it off. But anyway, we're going to go to John 14. Here we go. Okay, thank you very much. John 14. I've been thinking a lot. I'm just sharing a few things that have blessed me through the years, things that I've heard, things that people have taught and shared, and things I've seen in the Word and, about Christ in us, okay, which we all know so well. And, you know, so I remember the first time I heard this voice, 14:12. How it thrilled me, and it continues to thrill me when I really think about it and the greatness of it and the power of it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Nothing more than needs to be said. What else are we going to say? We're going to go to Isaiah 58. There's nothing else to be said. You know, we have Christ in us. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of verses that we could go to prove that. I think, I know Wesley shared one of the things that has, you know, brought me to this place and time. Is one of the great things that Wesley shared through the year was about, you know, the manifestations of Holy Spirit and the operations of Holy Spirit. You know, that's that God gave us in Christ, and we have that available all the time. And 58, which probably a lot of you know already, God says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. That has anything to do with Trump? he's kind of like a trumpet. Who knows? We do know where we're going, though. Okay? And, you know, which makes me think a lot about, you know, people today are scared. They're scared. And they have reason to be. Always look at the candidates for presidency. I mean, you know, most people live in fear today. So anyway, cry aloud, spare not. Show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob's their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and they see. And thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. So they were saying, basically, yeah, we're doing good. You know, we got a good little religious system going here. But God says, behold, you fast for strife and debate, and the smite with the fist of wickedness. You fight. You shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that they break every yoke? Too often I get it all wrapped up in my own life that I forget that there are people around me that are hurting. They're hurting. They need healing. They need peace in their lives. They need joy. They need what God, only God, can bring them. Okay, so when thou seest, verse 7, the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. I'm always thinking about it like Wesley. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And that's what we like, a reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am, I am. Like we heard this morning in the manifestations. Here he is. He's here for us all the time to take care of us. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and our darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I consider all you guys there. Right there. You have fat bones and springs of water because we have the word and we give the word out. Hearing this has just kind of brought me back a little bit to think about it. My life is not all that important, really, because God has already taken care of my life, you know. And all too often I get real wrapped up in, you know, my problems and my things and, you know, what I got to do, what I don't have to do, this, that, and the other thing. So it's good to be reminded of these things that, you know, I have Christ in me. I can reach out. I could touch others. I could heal others. And I know, for me, the biggest thing that I was missing in my life when I came to the Word was peace. Peace because, you know, I always think of my dad when I think about peace. He used to sit around after he retired and watch the news all the time. He was a guy that would read newspapers. He'd have a big stack every Sunday. Read every newspaper that was available. And he'd read them, the whole thing, all the way through. He was very good at reading. But all he did was make him upset. And I'd say, Dad, why do you watch the news? Oh, you know, you got to know what's going on. I said, why? Is there anything new under the sun? It's nothing new. It's the same. I called it murder, death, kill. That's all there is, murder, death, kill. You know? But that's the adversary's job, right? And Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, didn't he? And we have Christ in us. So we are able to do the same things. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 1. And again, these are just some things that I've been trying to put into my heart and life. And I've been going through the Gospels recently, and one of the big things that have stood out to me is verse 40, and it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. But he had compassion. He was moved with compassion, which means, you know, compassion is just feeling bad for somebody's situation, for somebody's problem. You know, unlike me, who I'm feeling bad about my situation all the time. You know, it ain't feel bad for me. You know, I'm not in such good shape here, but yeah. I should reverse my thinking. So let's look at chapter 6 of Mark. And I was just amazed at how many times it talks about, it mentions that Jesus had compassion. And I think that's something I need to learn. Chapter 6, verse 34. You know, compassion was used a lot when he fed the multitudes a few different times. It always mentions compassion each time. 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach many things, but he had compassion for them. And, you know, and I feel the same way at times too, you know. I can have, you know, everybody we come across that doesn't know the word the way we do it, accurately and right dividing of the word, needs what we have, needs what I have. They need, we could have compassion on them. From the smallest little thing to the biggest little thing. You know, sometimes, you know, we put, you know, I do anyway, but, you know, it's like, yeah, like, oh, he only cut his finger, yeah. But this guy can't see. Yeah. You know, that's a worse thing. It's not a worse thing, and it's not a worse thing, you know, to God, really. It's just in my mind, I see it different. Whatever that person needs at that time is really, you know, the biggest deal in the world. You know, like me looking at my problems. Matthew 20. Somebody's there, they could read verse 34, please.
So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him.
It's pretty cool. And I've been trying to learn how to understand compassion a little bit more and to have compassion the way I see that he had compassion. See, the true freedom is, you know, is if we continue in the Word, we shall be free indeed. You know, that's what we've learned, and we continue to do that, and hopefully we'll be doing it the rest of our lives, either until Christ comes back or we get put in the ground. I was reading something interesting in, I don't know if any of you guys get the Eternally Blessed things online. I don't know who does them. Anybody knows does them, Eternally Blessed? But he puts online, he puts little things of Dr. Whewell's teachings. Every week he puts out a different one, I guess, right there? You don't know? Okay. Well, we get them. They're cool. But one of the ones that he did recently was... the Royal Rules of Freedom. It was a teaching of Dr. Wells, and he covered, and we're going to go there to 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. It was a nice little teaching about, Dr. Will taught about 1 Peter 5 then. but it was more about, you know, it was addressing people that have been in the Word for a long time and have lost the excitement, the enthusiasm, the zeal, you know, And, of course, he uses, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And, you know, Dr. Will explained this as joy. You know, it gives you joy. Establish, strengthen, and settle you are... to put on the love of Christ, which it says to do in Colossians 3:14, to walk in love, Ephesians 5:2, and to dwell in God, 1 John 4:16. And that brings joy to your heart and life. And then we're also told in 1 Peter 4:8 to have fervent love, you know, one amongst another. And the greatest part about this is that when we're truly free, and this was the point of his sharing, was that then we can allow the Christ that's in to come out. When we're unencumbered by the things of our life and what we have to deal with at times, God promises me that he's going to take care of my problems, right? That's what we heard, manifestations. How good a God he is. Another great teaching that I heard this year that stuck in my mind a lot, which I didn't write any of the scriptures down for today, but was the attributes of God. Because God is all good. He's all loving. He's all forgiving. He's all love. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I mean, and we just can't outbeat God in loving. We can't outbeat God in giving, in compassion, in his forgiveness and care of us. We can't outbeat him. I can't outbeat him, you know. And anytime we come back to the greatness of what he wants for us, and you know, somebody reminded me this morning is that we have the abundant life now. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, I'm in pain now, but it's still the abundant life. And by his stripes I was healed. It's still true. Mm-hmm. And that don't change, you know. So either I could go to bed and lay down and say, that's it, I'm just going to lay here until I heal up or die, or I'm going to get up and start moving around and say, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, it's Christ in me. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. So, we'll go to Mark. And these are great verses that we all know so well. Mark 16. So, and you know, in coming here this morning, I was thinking a lot about how what a privilege it is to share the word with you guys, because you have and do endeavor to do the word and to live the word and to make the word available, you know, and have for many, many years. And I'm very, very privileged to be associated with all of you and to be a part of this fellowship. Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, if they take up serpents. I don't go around picking up snakes. I'm thank God we don't see that many snakes around here. I was talking to somebody that was telling me, oh, we're moving to Arizona. Arizona's a great place to retire. You know, I hear a lot of retirement talk, because we go to the sales, you know, there's old people, you know, and they're always talking about something, you know. So but I know somebody that lives in Arizona, and they recently told me that they carry a gun around on their hip to shoot the snakes. There's rattlesnakes and things around. I says, oh, okay, you go to Arizona, great. But I don't want to be picking up a snake. So, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. Christ in us, right? He's there. It's there. Okay? It's, you know, and we have to be, you know, Christ-centered. It's good to be Christ-centered, you know, to let that Christ, to realize that we have to bring that Christ out. Lambano, right? Lambano. These are things that I need to, you know, I'm just saying, teaching them because I need to hear them. You know, Lambano, bring that Christ out. Let it come out. I remember a time when I jumped on any chance to pray for anybody for anything. It didn't matter. Your big toe hurt you. I'll pray for you. My big toe's sore. Okay, let me pray for you. I've gotten away from that, I'm sorry to say. Okay, we'll wrap this up in John 14. But praise God, I can continue in the Word, and then I'll be free indeed. Did I do 14 already?
14, 12.
Yeah, I did do that already. So we'll go to 2 Corinthians. Sorry. Second Corinthians, let's see, 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So, this is a good thing for me to remember. Each and every day, I'm an ambassador for God. Does it make me perfect? No, I'm far from perfect. And any of you guys that know me, good. No, I'm not perfect, But I still have Christ in me that's perfect. Christ in me that has the power. Christ in me, that can do all the things that God says it will do and can do. And I can be an ambassador for Christ each and every day. And that thrills me. It thrills me to know, I usually wake up singing. Some people don't, but I usually do. Where some of the stupid songs come from that I sing, I don't know. But it should be an ambassador song, right? It would be great to be an ambassador song. So, again, I'm very thankful that we have such a wonderful fellowship and that we're part of such a great family. And we do see signs, miracles, and wonders. I'm not saying we don't. I know we do. Praise God that we do. And I'm real thankful for Wesley and Susan and all that they do and the great comfort that they bring us at times. So I'll pray. Father, thank you for how great and wonderful you are, God, and that you've made it fit to be so that you've called each and every one of us out to your glorious light, Father, and gospel of Jesus Christ, God, that we have such a fulfilling life spiritually, that we could walk with the same effervescence and joy in our hearts that Christ did, God, and to be a part of, to reach out and to touch those that you would have us touch, and to be healed and to walk with healing available to us each and every day. I thank you again in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.